Shalom Aleichem. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording from our almost soundproof studio in Silver Spring, Maryland. And we are so glad that you can join us. Nedarim Nunches, Nedarim 58a, pagination is 115. Starting from the very beginning of the page, making reference to a topic that we had on the previous daf, the Mishnah on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah over there described that if a person made a vow not to eat or taste that which he designates a certain fruit, a certain grain, if that item is planted, so then in a basic sense, there will not be a restriction on that which grows, because what is growing, at least in the case of zaro kala, that the seed itself disintegrates, if it's something like wheat, then certainly the influence of the seed is felt in that which grows, in the sheaf of wheat. But the thing itself, which he prohibited, which was the grain, is not present in this new item. Its genes may be present, its DNA, its chromosomes, but that's all copied from the original. The original disintegrated. The original is not here. I found it somewhat reminiscent of the concepts of GMOs, genetically modified organisms, in which you take a chromosome from one thing and you put it into something else. It may not be a perfect comparison to zaro kola, but on some level, I think it's the same principle. If you were to take a chromosome, for example, from an ox, and you would implant it into a tomato, and presumably you would get a new version of a beefsteak tomato, I guess, that tomato is not going to be a shahakal because it has a chromosome from meat. It's not going to be fleshik. It is going to remain a vegetable. And that, I think, is an example of zaro kola, that the original thing is not here. In contrast, we acknowledged, if ein zaro kola, such as, for example, an onion where the original is still there, so in that case, it would be restricted from consumption by this person who made the neder on the particular item, because the particular item is still here on some level. We asked a question, which is going to be explored over here. Shouldn't the original be batal? It should be nullified. It's a minority at a certain point. And we answered that it has to do with the principle called Dovar Sheyesh Lo Matirim. Something that will become mutter or could reasonably become mutter, permitted in the future. Why should we have you eat it while it's forbidden if we can have it, you eat it once it becomes permitted? And we discussed this in the case of muktzah items. Wait till after Shabbos or Yom Tov. In the words of the Talmud, Achetochal be'isser, Tochal la'achar Yom Tov be'heter. You're going to eat it in a prohibited state. Why don't you just wait till after Yom Tov and you can eat it in a permitted state? Explaining this principle, the Gemara states, Kol davar sheyesh lo matirim, anything that becomes permitted. Kigon, for example, tevel, untithed produce, umayser sheni, and the second tithe, which is really going to be used by the owner in Yerushalayim, vehektish, and something that was made hektish, v'chadosh, and the new grain which becomes permitted on the second day of Pesach, lo nosnu bohen chachamim shiur. The chachamim did not legislate an amount by which they will become nullified. Instead, they wanted that it should not become nullified, and you should have to wait for the avenue of permissibility. Namely, in the case of tevel, untithed produce, he can tithe it from other produce that he knows has yet to have been tithed. Maaser sheni is able to be redeemed. Hekdesh is able to be redeemed. Chadash, so wait till the second day Pesach. It'll be permitted. And these principles are going to be examples of this idea of Yesh lo matirin. V'chol davar she'ein lo matirin, and anything that does not have permissibility, kigon teruma, for example, teruma, you actually took the tithe for the Kohen, or terumas meiser, or the Levi took the tithe for the Kohen, v'chala, v'orla, v'kilei akerem. Other examples, such as chala, taking the dough off of the general dough, and the part that you're taking off is going to be given to the Kohen, or in our time, burned. Nosnu bem chachamim shiur. These are things where the chachamim did give an amount, because these things cannot simply be arrived at a time of permissibility. They're not just going to become permitted, and therefore if they fall into something else, there is a process of nullification, bittul, which does take place. As we mentioned in the previous session, the Gemara wonders why some of these are classified as ein lo matirim, if we know that you could be shoel neder on challah, for example. And the Gemara answers there's a difference between general asking on a neder by nedarim, where we actually wish you would, and we wish you wouldn't make vows, because you're adding to Torah unnecessarily, as opposed to, in contrast to, the other case over here, where challah is taken, and we really would like you to observe it. It's only in the very unusual case that it has to be undone because it got mixed into everything else and we're in big trouble that we would undo it. But in general, we maintain observance of the challah that was taken, and therefore it is classified as a davar she'ein lo matirin and does not have this restriction, which makes it that it's not batel. Instead, it would be batel if the proper parameters and percentages were met. Yeshe koach, thank you for joining.